Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And what we're going to be talking about today is not just mind power, also emotional power. Because mind, body, and emotions are part of a package that we all carry. And as human beings, we have all kinds of things that are going on with us at any one given moment. And our attitudes have a lot to do with how things evolve, with how we perceive our world. And that is what we are going to be discussing today. My guest is Dude Bijou. Her book, which has won a number of awards, Attitude Reconstruction, I think may give you an opportunity to explore how you possibly can design a blueprint for your life. If you're feeling as if this is a new year, this is something that you really want to invest in, it's a do-it-for-yourself time frame, it's a great book to get a hold of. I want to welcome Dude Bijou to the show. Dude, thanks for coming on with me.
Why, Donna, thank you. It is just my pleasure to be here today.
Dude, you are the daughter of a pioneering behavioral child psychologist, Sidney W. Bijou. Tell us a little bit about your dad. What was it that spurred him to get into child psychology? I know we're going to be going into another dimension with what you're doing, but this is quite a background for you to be born into this kind of family environment.
Yes. Well, my father actually started out working with animals and then got the opportunity to go to the University of Washington to start and do an Institute of Child Development. And that's where he got fascinated with children and how to help all kinds of children, and not only the children, but the parents and the teachers, give the children exactly what they need so that they can perform their best. So he was a behavioral psychologist. He looked at what wasn't working and found good ways to help facilitate them.
Now, because your dad was involved with this kind of, let's call it thought processing, did he often chat with you about different things? Why do you think that you wanted to go into the environment of being a licensed marriage and family therapist? I mean, you've been involved with many different modalities, but why did you decide you wanted to orient yourself towards that direction?
Well, I really think of it, it's in the genes just a little bit, because it wasn't like we talked about those kind of things, but I think just by being around him, he very much dealt in specifics, and that is what you could see and what needed to change. And that made a lot of sense for me. And he also was a very positive man. He was really trying to move things forward. So we weren't punished a lot, and we didn't hear a lot of negativity. And I think those things I just assumed were normal. And then as I grew up, that wasn't my experience in the world. But I really gravitated back toward, yes, let me find a system that's going to work for me, that embodies really some of the best qualities that he had.
You address a number of different components regarding what you title as attitude reconstruction. You go into intuition, which I want to touch on in a little bit. But let's talk first about how you feel that when we are mindful about our attitudes, that we actually are designing our own GPS system. I like that description. Why is it that you feel that that description is significant as far as explaining this to people?
Well, I believe that an attitude isn't just how we perceive things, but it's also how we interact with ourselves, with our world, with those we love, in the work situation. That attitude really is how we talk. It comes out in how we think and how we act and how we deal with our emotions, how we feel. So all of those things really together are attitude, and that they're all governed by a few very simple principles, all based on emotions.
I want to touch on a sentence that you have in your book. You say there's a thick wad of gunk inside of each of us. I really like that. And old destructive thought patterns are driving the bus. Now, the reason this really stood out to me is that it wasn't that long ago I was encountering a woman who could talk 10,000 miles an hour. I swear she could convince a lizard he was Santa Claus. And she was just this dynamic personality. But her behavior when it came to being in a work environment and in association with people was very destructive. Now, that sounds a little bit odd, because on one hand, I'm saying she's got this dynamic side of self, that she could sell anything and could do all of this stuff, and yet she destroyed relationships in her life. And your term of driving the bus, she would often say how people put her under the bus. And
oh,
I remember hearing that, and I thought, I've not ever heard that term before. I guess my world has been sort of a small one, but you threw me under the bus. And I thought, isn't that interesting when she goes through this? Let's talk about a scenario like this, because you are correct, I feel, in the awareness that the emotions, and this is something that is very deep inside of, and these emotions really drove the bus that she was underneath all the time. And I think that's a very significant thing. I don't believe that many of us, 100% of the time, and none of us are going to do this 100% of the time, but to be mindful about our emotions. We almost have to be our own psychologist, huh?
Well, we have to learn to identify what we're feeling inside of ourselves and then handle it in a constructive way. Because what I'm hearing when she says that people throw me under the bus, she's not taking responsibility for herself. Mm-hmm. It's like something out there is making her feel what she does or do or have things happen, where it's really all inside of us. If I'm feeling anger, it's my anger in me. It's not because you're driving too fast or you're not doing what I want you to do. That emotion is within me. Mm-hmm. What I've really learned is that we really only have three emotions that are causing us that gunk, because they're sitting inside of ourselves because we haven't expressed them over and over and over again, so that they're inside and they then distort how we think and how we speak and how we act. And those three emotions are sadness, anger, and fear. Just those emotions. And what's so nice is that they are just pure physiology inside the body. Each feels very different.
Very true. Why do you think in our society, and I have my own thoughts on this, but I'd like your feedback. Why do you think in the Western culture that we make these things our enemies instead of understanding that anger, for example, it can be very destructive? I mean, we're getting all this media coverage, which in a way I think is justified. But I see media, having been involved with it for so much of my life, usually wanting to pump up fear, wanting to pump up anger, wanting to pump up confusion. And this is the industry I've been in. And I look at this and I go, what is this feeding? What animal is this feeding within the human spirit? And of course, it's going to create all kinds of pandemonium inside of a lot of people unless they can listen objectively, unless they can really understand what's going on. And that's very hard to do unless you've been a part of the education of understanding why that is done. And I look at this, and I think in daily life, so many times, we have this very essence that we do to ourselves because that's how we've been indoctrinated. And in the Western culture, we run away. It's not good. Men and women both. I've seen it on both sides of the spectrum. It's like you've got to be the stoic person, and you're only strong if you hold everything inside of it. It's okay to get angry. It is okay to say, I'm scared to death. It's all right to say that. And it's okay to say, I'm grieving. It's all right to do. Why is it so hard for us to make that okay?
I think it's been handed down from generation to generation. We got messages from our parents and from the culture. Don't cry, or I'll give you something to cry about. Girls aren't pretty when they're angry. Don't be a scaredy cat. Because I think that there's a couple of different, well, there's several reasons, but one is that their emotions are messy. They're unpredictable. And in a world where everybody is, you know, wanting to be efficient, and now we're wanting to get the kids and the family from point A to point B, there's not enough time to say, okay, everything stop. We need to attend with this child who's feeling angry. And so we got messages that say, don't do it, don't do it. And what we had to do, of course, is stuff those emotions and learn how to compensate. Mm-hmm. But I think that another thing that happens is if the children have emotions, it triggers the parents and all of their unexpressed emotions, which they don't have a very good handle on as well. And it's like it's to be avoided because we haven't said emotions are part of the human condition and we can handle them very efficiently and effectively. We can honor, I say, our emotional body. Because it goes back to if we just get that they're just sensations, and if we release those sensations in a very physical but constructive way, they pass, and then we can be like that small child who has that temper tantrum or cries, and then they're back and they're present.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the most difficult aspects, I know that I have had to learn, and I don't say I've conquered it, because I have my moments just like anybody else, but I know that there is that fear essence when it hits, and part of that is natural. You're supposed to have that awareness that keeps you on guard. You're not supposed to walk around like somebody with a bucket over their head all the time going, this world is absolutely la-la land. Excuse me, it's not. Life really stinks sometimes. It really does. And I don't know any generation that is not going to have lousy situations in it, period. But when you can acknowledge it and say, all right, now, how am I going to work with this? And maybe you don't have an answer. That's another thing. I think people think that they're supposed to know it all. Or, gee whiz, if you can't figure it out in 5 seconds, there's got to be something wrong with you. Excuse me? Life is about learning to live, for heaven's sakes. And lots of times you're going to stub your toe, you might even break a leg, or you might get something in your eye. You just don't know. You've got to grow from living, not from fantasy land and just daydreaming all day long. And that's what I like about your book. You say, let's take charge of this. Let's not be afraid of who we are. And that doesn't mean you go out and blow everybody's head off with an M16. That's not what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to take dominion over your own space and realize that you can do that. And I really like the aspect of let's be aware that as individuals, we can do something with this. Now, you have what you call your toolkit that you like people to be aware of. What is this toolkit, and why is it so useful?
Well, I'd like to go back to what you're saying because it's so important, I think, and that is that being scared is the human condition. Threats to our survival, whether they're real or imagined, naturally are going to evoke fear. But what we haven't been taught is how to handle that emotion physically. And I say, instead of tightening up and becoming that deer in the headlights or just running around like the chicken with the head cut off, we need to allow ourselves to shake and shiver, quiver, shudder, tremble, let that energy out of the body. So it's making sounds, woo, and I'm shaking my arms and shaking my feet and up the spine and through the neck. I'm letting that energy out because it's just physical energy. And then if I'll just take that couple of minutes, like if I have to make a phone call or have to do something that feels intimidating, if I'll just move that energy out of my body just a little bit, I am left with another one of the emotions, with feeling more peaceful. I'm more peaceful and centered when I've taken care of my fear and acknowledged it and moved it out of my body. And bringing it back to what you're saying, that is one of the tools in the toolkit. Handle those emotions that are natural, that are going to come up in a way that will move them out of the body. It's not necessarily taking deep breaths or counting to 10. It's moving that energy in a way that doesn't hurt yourself and hurt other people.
That is something that, in my view, our society, especially with all of the technology that has evolved, and maybe I'm off base with this, but I know that I had, and I'll use me as an example, I had a very emotional situation about 2 weeks ago where I just got so mad. I swear, if I had had a mallet, I think every window in the house would have been smashed. I was furious. Oh, my goodness, because what happened involved a level of stupidity on the part of a person, and I just thought, this is supposed to be someone that's almost a genius. I really was furious because of what they had done. And I said, okay, I got to do something with this because I am so angry that, and just so angry. And before I can even open my mouth to say anything, and I went and I took a 3-mile walk, and I just moved. I mean, I was going as fast as my short legs could take me. And by the time I got back to my house, I said, okay. But I had to expend that. Now, I'm old enough, I'm mature enough to know to do this. So what you've recommended as part of the toolkit, I think, is a very valid thing. We need to know that there are times that we're going to get mad, and we have a justification for that. I can remember telling this in counseling to people. Your anger is justified. Something that was done that was wrong, but you want to be able to handle it. You want to be able to not lose it, where you act like somebody that's an immature idiot in their teens because their brains and their common sense haven't even developed, and they get mad and they go around and they maybe will hurt somebody or hurt themselves or whatever. You don't want to do that. But what you want to do is get yourself into that positioning where you have clarity of thought. And again, I just use me as an example. And when I look back on it, you know, the world is going to continue to spin. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? How the world keeps going on, regardless of what you're going on or through. But it's taking that moment and taking charge of that moment and accepting that you're the one that wants to handle your own space. And that physical activity really makes a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I learned is I saw this originally at a workshop with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who, of course, I call the death and dying lady. But what she understood is that when people die, we naturally have emotions about it. And that if we want to move through that process, we need to get that emotion out. And what she had, she put big mattresses down on the floor and then old phone books and flexible plastic tubing. And this is what I do with clients that I see. And I just have people wail on those books because pages start to fly and it sounds loud, and you feel so good to have permission to let that energy out. Because that's what the energy of anger looks like. It's, we want to destroy. It's out there, and we need to move that energy out of the body. So I go back to the model of what a child does when they're denied that cookie. They flop down on that floor, and they kick and scream. And then after a few minutes, if we don't interrupt them, they're fine. They get engaged in something else. They fall asleep. Something goes on, but it passes. And that we can do the same thing. We need to take ourselves to a safe place. We can lie on our bed and flail and kick and scream for a minute. It feels fabulous. Or if we don't want to do that, you can stomp, just stomping around. But something vigorous that is what we see in nature, to move that energy out, pushing against a door jamb or something, and just making sounds, because that emotion is not words. Oh, oh, and just giving voice to that and getting that energy out, it passes, and then we can take the appropriate actions that we need to do and the communications, and we can start to have our thinking can open up, and we can be in touch with, like you said, with our intuition once again, because the emotional body is not taking over.
And I think so many times I've talked to coaches, and I'm going to digress before we get into intuition here. I've talked to coaches when they're dealing with young men and women, and they have their emotional whatevers that they go through. And they'll send them out onto a track, and they'll make them run. And it's redirecting the energy. The physical activity really makes a difference, so they have them do sit-ups. Because what it does, it brings your whole system back into a harmony, so that then you're thinking. And again, I think we've evolved a patterning. We need to understand that disciplining our emotions is important. We don't want not to develop discipline. But there are times when we need to recognize whether it's grieving, whether it's being afraid, whether it is anger. There are things that come up that we need to honor and respect and really not run from them. Because when you push them down, eventually it's going to regurgitate, and sometimes in not such a positive way. And I know people that have physical ailments because of suppressing things.
Absolutely.
Being in touch with yourself means not just your emotional nature, not just the physical. It's all connected, the mind, body, spirit, emotions. Let's talk about intuition, because you devote a full chapter to this. Now, there are some people that would say, oh, for heaven's sake, you're talking about this physical release. What in the world would intuition have to do with it? Why in the world would you even incorporate this? I could just hear scientific left-brainers going towards this. Why did you want to do this?
Well, it is one of the tools that each human being possesses. Like, we all have emotions. And the second tool, which is that we all have thoughts. We can all think. We can all process, and we think both fresh thoughts, but most of the time we're thinking repetitive thoughts over and over, and we can change those. But there's also that third thing, which we can hear our intuition a lot more if we've dealt with our emotions and we've gotten away from that skewed thinking and have restored reality a little bit. Then we have something inside of ourselves that is beyond that noise of the mind, because we can get so lost in the pros and cons and make lists and trying to think things out rationally, but they don't produce that, oftentimes anyway, they don't produce that sweet inner feeling, where that's what we're looking for. If we start to pay attention to what we know inside, say what's true for us, we can then have a guide to take action and to communicate. And for me, intuition just means taking a pause, whether first you're going to shiver a little up to get rid of some fear or whatever, or think some positive thoughts, and then we're going to just sit for a minute and say, oh, well, what's true for me in this situation? What do I want inside me? Not my head, but inside me. And when we stop and get that answer, because we know, we really know, if we'll do that, then our actions and our words will be very powerful, and we won't get back into our head, oh, maybe this, maybe that. We can always go back to, I know I needed to talk to my mother about what she said last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I know I need to just let it go by. Our intuition can tell us if we'll just pause and listen.
I agree. Now, right along that line, you bring up something about I need to talk to the mother or whatever, whomever. It mm-hmm. might be related to, could be something on the job. It could be talking to a veterinarian about your pet that you're concerned about. Communication. Through the years, I have learned, and especially because of having been involved in the work of mind for most of my life, the mind connection is so important, but the language of communication is really an art. And you can say, I love horses. And one person will think of it in one way, and another person will think of it another way. You have just as many responses to I love horses as you do individuals in the context of whatever their experience might be. But that may not have anything to do with your saying you love horses. Their thoughts may not relate to really what you're thinking. So then you have to add more to it. You have to be able to paint pictures with your words so that someone really understands why you love horses, especially if there's someone in the audience that is, now that you're speaking with, it could be one person, it could be 50,000, that hates horses. They had a bad experience with them. This is something you address, speech. And you have a chapter on this, framing doors, windows, and walls. What do you mean by this?
Well, what I've learned by working with individuals and couples for over 30 years, is that there are really only four rules of good communication. And if we stick with them, whether it's in the workplace or the family place or talking to ourselves, we can be clear and get that understanding that we're looking for. That communication is about, I want to understand you. I want to have a connection with you. So for me, there's four rules, but the first two rules are what are really, well, they're all important. But the first rule, it's exactly like you said, I love horses. It's, we're talking about ourselves. So because if we're into the blame game and telling other people about them, we're toast. The people can't hear, and we're not going to get to some good resolution. So the first rule really is talk about yourself. What's true for you? So that, if we're just staying in ourselves, this is what's true, and then being specific. This is such an important thing, and as I got that info, I think I learned that from my father, that the more specific I can be, the more you can understand what I say. And it's interesting because we use specifics in business, in law, in directions, in computers, in medicine, in cooking. We use everything's based on specifics, but nobody told us that communication needs to be in specifics. So if I go, this is what's true for me, my eye, rule one, rule two, about this specific event, and this is why. So we are painting that picture about one thing at a time, and we're giving information about ourselves about that specific thing. And then we can find solution. The other okay, well, you like horses because of this and that. Oh, now I understand you, and now this is my take on horses and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Because that's the fourth rule. I won't go into the third rule right now, but the fourth rule is listening, and that is we don't listen enough. I teach classes in communication and community class. All right, how many people feel listened to enough? Maybe one person will raise their hand. Mm-hmm. But to have good communication, we need to, I say, put that duct tape on and listen for half the time and talk for the other. So that's the fourth rule. We have eyes, one, two, specifics, four, listen, and three is kindness. Look for the good. Look for what's going to move things forward.
Jude, what is your website? I know we're just about out of time here. What's your website that people can go to find out more about your book, which already has won a few awards? Where can they find out more about your work and your workshops and this type of thing?
Yes, the website is www.attitudereconstruction.com.
And attitudereconstruction.com.
And it has a free survey where people can identify what's not working, what attitudes are holding them back, as well as find information and articles, podcasts, videos, and so on, all the information they need, as well as an opportunity to buy the ebook or the regular book.
Well, Jude, you've done a wonderful job with this, and Attitude Reconstruction, it is, as you described it, a toolkit that people can work with. And what I like is that you do it in your own time. I think sometimes the journey of self-exploration, you need to have a level of patience with yourself. There's no magic bullet, no magic pill where you take a glass of water, swallow it, and you've got it. Because the human experience is an ever-expanding one. And I really think that your book, Attitude Reconstruction, goes a long way to empowering an individual. So for those of you listening, check out attitudereconstruction.com, and you may want to check out one of her tests to see where you feel you might want to examine some of the changes you'd like to implement. Jude Bijou, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
Thanks, Donna. It's just been so much my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so delighted you are joining me today. And quickly, I want to mention the phone number that you can call into if you would like to chat with me. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here it is, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, then let me tell you what I perceive, and you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Quickly, I also want to let those of you know who are in the Southern California area, I'm going to be making a trip down there. I will be in Santa Barbara on February the 4th, and I will be in Santa Barbara for a few days, and then I'm going to be in the Los Angeles Glendale area, and more information is going to be sent out via email as well as in my upcoming newsletter. So if you'd like to meet with me while I'm down in the Golden State. All you have to do, and it can be done in person or by phone, is call me at my office, 253-582-5604, and we'll set up a time where we can meet. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone number again, 888-627-6008. We've got a caller on the line, and I want to welcome you to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from? Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me, dear?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you taking my call?
Yes, I am, dear. Where are you calling in from?
Okay, I'm sorry, it was someone else.
All right. Well, your first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Lynn, and I'm calling from Virginia.
From Virginia? What area of Virginia?
Fredericksburg, about an hour south of D.C.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is just a gorgeous area. Not only that, but it's loaded with history. We have, my husband and I both, quite a family history with the state of Virginia, and it's one of the most beautiful areas to be in. It actually reminds me a great deal of the Pacific Northwest where I am, so lush and green, but you've got history there that is just incredible. Lynn, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that is coming into my mind is, number one, you're a no-nonsense kind of person. You're very responsible. If someone gives you a job to do, you get it done. However, what I am observing is I really think you're tired, Lynn. I think you are at a point where you might think you're getting burned out on a particular situation and environment. And what I'd like for you to do is to sort of quiet down, take a couple of steps back, give yourself some downtime, and really, really investigate the changes that you want to implement. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because you are so level-headed about so many things, and you usually put others first. This is a time, this is a year, where you're letting go of what I would perceive as what you no longer need to carry. The image I'm getting in my mind, it's like you have a huge, huge backpack on your back. And you've taken off the backpack, you're tired, you're sitting on the side of the road, and you're finding a rock to sit on, and you're looking at this backpack, and it is just massive. And you're saying, I just don't want to carry this anymore. And then what I'm saying is you're opening up the backpack, and you're not dumping everything out, which would probably be the quickest way to do it, but you're going through bit by bit and saying, is this something I really need? And I'm seeing a couple of items that are right out in the open, and you need to be able to let them go. And related, they are related to a couple of individuals. There are things you no longer need to handle. There are things that you can turn over to someone else. You can release them out of your bag of responsibilities, which is what this is representing symbolically. And then you just need some quiet time. You need some downtime. And as I'm watching this imagery in my mind, I'm seeing you looking over at your backpack, and you're going to notice that it's, well, down about a third in its size. And you go over to pick up the backpack, and you're going, mm-mm, still too heavy. I'm still not ready to take on this load. And I think you're going to go through another process. Now, between now and June the 3rd, this is the time for you to really have integrity with yourself, to take time for yourself, look at what you can release yourself from that no longer needs to be your responsibility. And I'm seeing the load lightened by half. And then I'm seeing you picking up the backpack that you've got and saying, okay, this is more comfortable. It's not digging into my shoulders now. And it's half the size. And then I'm seeing you going through the rest of the year, dealing with what you feel you need to deal with. And then I think that you're going to go through another major reevaluation in the latter part of fall of this year, putting your backpack down of responsibilities and saying, all right, let me really evaluate this. What else am I carrying that I don't need to carry? And at that time, then I'm seeing you really shaking everything out of the backpack. And this is in the latter part of October, November. You're shaking everything out of the backpack, and you're saying, all right, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to take care of that. This is necessary. This is not necessary. And I'm seeing you letting some other things go. And by the time you're finished with this year, your backpack is going to be like a day pack. And you're going to say, I wish I'd done this 5 years ago. It's not a bad thing that it wasn't done 5 years ago, because you needed to go through certain learning experiences to get you to where you are today. You're not going backwards. You're not going backwards at all. You're being mindful this year. This is a year of re-evaluation, assessment, discarding what no longer is necessary, and then feeling fulfillment and even a sense of contentment with what you are taking care of. And this is mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So in this imagery that's in my head, to me, you are making this year the year to implement some of the decisions that you have procrastinated on for the past 2.5 to 3 years. And this is relative to all different levels of your life. And it's nothing good. It's nothing bad. It's just you're ready to do this. So I want to say pat yourself on the back. Have joy inside of yourself because you are having this moment. And just get on with what you need to do for yourself. You're not lost. You are in a very decisive, fulfilling, and clearing out period in your life. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I am definitely tired, and specifically what I'm trying to decide about is a practitioner. I have a number of health issues, and I'm trusting him. He's an intuitive because I work with alternative people now rather than regular doctors. But his plan is very different from me, and it's exhausting. I've done it very hardcore. For 3 months, I've done what I should do, but I'm tired, and I'm not sure that this is the right path. Do you get any sense of that, or him, or this program?
All right. What I have expressed to you, I think, really answers your question. Because you need to realize that you have to trust yourself. You're highly intuitive. You need to trust yourself. And you need to make it okay that you let go of what isn't working for you. So without going into a lot of detail, which we don't have time on the air, but with specifics, which again we're not going to go into on the air at this time, but you are the person. This is for you. You need to give yourself permission to really look at what is not working for you. Because this is a decisive year that you are having certain health issues, that you're having certain things that you're having to deal with. Okay, you don't want to run from that. You want to deal with it. However, you want to have a patterning of flow, and you want to let go what's not working. And this is a process. So just from what you have shared with me in a minute, you are doing exactly the right thing right now. You are making an assessment. You are evaluating things. I want you to trust yourself. Am I making sense
okay.
to you?
Yes, and it's my 13th year of doing this with one person, you know, it's a big onion and we're peeling the onion. So I do hear what you're saying. It's just a challenge to try to find someone who can help and where to let go. So,
all right. You need to trust yourself. You already know some of the things you can let go. I'm out of time, dear. I'm going to have to go on break here. But you take care of yourself and trust, all right? You're going to make the right choices.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. I appreciate your call. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. And when we come back, I got a little bit of this to share, a little bit of that. And if you want to call and chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I absolutely love animals. I really do. And I'm intrigued with them. I'm fascinated with them. I think that dogs and cats and horses and birds, their personalities are just amazing to me. I have so much fun. I was introduced to a new four-pawed friend named Charlie, and he's a corgi-husky mixture. Let me tell you, not only is he a beautiful dog, he even has the corgi tail with a little white tip on the end of it. It's just amazing. But the power in this dog is just, he's just so full of love, life, and energy. And Charlie, who I got to meet a day before yesterday, is a rescue dog. And I've rescued dogs. My husband and I both have rescued Scotties. And each and every dog that we have brought into our home has had their own personality. And we have stories we can tell about all of them, as I know any one of you can relate to that have animals yourselves. We always love to talk about our little fur persons or feathered persons or lizard persons, whatever we've got, because there's something magical that occurs when you're around animals. And they each have their own personality. I know any of you that have dealt with animals, you'll say, Donna, that's absolutely true. I can tell you stories. Well, I came across some marvelous stories about animals that were rescued and how the animals have just made changes in the lives of the people that they've been adopted by. And, of course, their lives have been benefited because they've gone into homes that have wanted them. But they're anything from what we call a mutt to a feral cat. I mean, just all kinds of interesting combinations. And their personalities really shine. And I thought I would share a couple of stories with you today about Smokey. Now, I've got a picture of this cat in front of me, and Smokey has the most delicious green eyes you could ever desire. I think if green eyes aren't very common in people, but they are magical. They just really are. And these deep, deep green eyes are looking at you when you look at this photograph. And this cat is what I'd call not a fat cat in the sense of being overweight and a huge, huge cat, but this is a sleek cat. This is a cat that just exudes persona. And Smokey is a celebrity. Yes. He has the world's loudest purr. He's in the Guinness Book of Records. Can you believe that? Now, 4 years ago, Smokey was in an animal shelter in England. She had been in 7 homes. They couldn't stand the purr. When she purrs, she has this very high decibel purr. Well, there was a family that decided they were going to adopt this dog. Ruth Adams is the woman that adopted. She said, we can't watch television because her purr is so loud. And that's hard for me to believe. But I guess it's a fact because she's in the Guinness Book of Records. She said she is so happy. And this purr, this loud, loud purr comes out. And Ruth said, why has this become something that ended up making Smokey so famous? Well, she apparently was on a local radio show and did such a good job of purring into the microphone that a local newspaper reporter showed up with someone that said, let's measure this. And do you know what? Smokey's purr is at 92 decibels. Now, 92 decibels, they say that's equal to a Boeing 747 coming into land. Now, can you imagine that? I have a hard time imagining that. The average purr decibel level is about 25. Now, Smokey is 12 years young. Yes, this is a cat that I think is going to be around for a long time, having an effect on a lot of people. Now, she's been on the Today Show. There's been a book written about this tabby. And when she meets people, she absolutely welcomes you with this ear-deafening purr of a 92 decibels. But Ruth Adams and her husband said, we love her. We would not want to not have her in our home. What an amazing story about a fur person that I'd never heard anything like this before. So I thought I would share that with you. Also, I want to take the opportunity to thank those of you who have been sending me stories and photos. And I realize that my standard email, Donna at Delphi International, we're having problems with our server again. And that's eventually going to be corrected. But if you have anything that you would like to send me in a special story, etc., send it to Donna Sebo at Comcast.net, and that'll absolutely get through. You know how it is when you have computer challenges. It's just one thing after another. And by the way, I want to encourage those of you, because you're all on your computers, to be sure you keep your security systems up to date. The Trojan horses are alive and well, and we had a system disruption, and to our dismay, although we had the security to caught it, 2 Trojan horses were definitely in the system, and of course we had a security firewall there that allowed us to block them from doing any damage. But wow, we just have so much going on today with technology that we do have to try to stay up to date and keep current with those things so that we don't lose everything that we've got. And above all, be sure you remember to do your backups. Quickly, and as I know we're just about out of time here, for those of you that just love music and you want to get free music, you can go for free MP3 downloads in Amazon.com's music department. Also, iTunes has a store, and they have the free section, and it's in their right-hand menu side. And then ReverbNation.com. That's R-E-V-E-R-B Nation.com. And all of this is for free. So if music is something that you want to have in your life, check out those sites. I think you will enjoy it. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. It's been so delightful having you with me today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about vampires in the United States. We'll be traveling to Ireland visiting with historian Bob Curran. And we're going to be learning more about this subject matter that a lot of people are very much fascinated by and love, all the different programs that are on these unique myths. Is that what it is? We'll find out tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy this day. It's your gift. Smile and bless the world of someone else with your light. This is Donna. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.